If you're able and willing, we invite you to stand with us as we seek him together. Let's pray. Our most merciful God and our everlasting Father, we come before you trusting in the mercies of the Lord, which are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We would call upon you, the God who delights in mercy. And Lord, we would come before you this night, not in our own name, not trusting in our own righteousness, and not offering you our own works, but simply leaning upon the name of the one who died and rose again and ascended into glory and is now seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Lord, we would come in his name, the only name, our Lord Jesus Christ, the only King and head of the church, our blessed and only sovereign, our sweet Redeemer, and our majestic Savior. And Lord, as we do so, Lord, we do continue to acknowledge our sin. Lord, we continue to recognize our faults in thought, word, and deed. Lord, we continue to take your truth and twist it for our own purposes, to take your promises and presume, to take your law and rationalize our falling short of it. We confess to you that we have beaten out paths of our own making and we have justified our doing so. Lord, we confess that we have sinned against much light. We have sinned against much love and against the richest of mercy. And so, Lord, we ask that you would forgive. We would take refuge this night once again under the shadow of your wings. Lord, we would rest this night in a perfect redemption. We would look to you, O God, the one who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to your own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We look to you, Lord Jesus, the one who brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We would come to you this night seeking pardon, seeking assurance of pardon, resting on the certainty of your truth, resting on this perfect reconciliation with God. We would come before you, O Lord of heaven, having been reconciled with God through the blood of the cross. O Lord Jesus, that you made peace through the blood of your cross, and that therefore now, being justified by faith, that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that we would not rest in a false peace this night. Lord, we would rest upon a perfect peace, worked out and purchased and secured by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Lord, we pray that by your Spirit you would train us to depart from iniquity, since we have named the name of Christ. We ask that you would teach us to strive for purity of heart, to strive for that holiness without which no one shall see the Lord. We ask that you would train us for a true gentleness, a true meekness, bowing before the rod and the scepter of your truth. We pray that you would stir in us the deepest appetite, a hunger and thirst after righteousness, and that you would satisfy every longing soul. We pray that you would train us for mercy, and that we would be ambassadors of mercy. And, O Lord, that by your word and spirit, you would purify our hearts, that we might see you in the gospel, see you in the sanctuary and see you in glory in that perfect consummation of peace forevermore. We ask that you would draw near to those who are suffering physically or mentally or emotionally. We pray that you would be their joy and their portion. We ask your blessings of wisdom for those with decisions to make regarding assignments, vocations, and callings in the coming months. And Lord, we pray that clarity might be granted and that you would train your people to wait upon the Lord, to look to you, to watch for you. Now we ask your blessings, Lord, upon your church, that you would revive her in the midst of the years. Oh, Lord, that you would cause the flame of the Lord to burn within her, that you would fill her with the deepest, most ardent love for Christ and zeal for the glory of the Lord. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would descend upon her in power, Lord, that you'd revive her, Lord, that she would be a beacon and a light, that she would be a burning, shining light. We ask your blessings upon gospel preaching churches in the Wiregrass, and that for every congregation, for every pulpit that proclaims the truth of the Lord Jesus crucified and resurrected, we pray that you would shore up their foundations and that you would strengthen their hands in the Lord. We ask that you would come alongside and that you would fill their sails with the mighty Spirit of God. And Lord, that you would give every gospel preaching church, not only in the Wiregrass, but in the state of Alabama and throughout this nation, we pray that you would give them a zeal, a drive, an earnestness, a vigor. We pray, Lord, that you would make her holy even as you are holy, that you purify her worship, that you would purify her preaching, that you purify her evangelism. And we pray, O Lord, that our neighborhoods, that our streets, that our cities, that our families, that our friends would look upon us. And Lord, that they would be drawn not to us, but they'd be drawn to the light of the Lord. Oh, give us to walk in that light, to walk in the light of the Lord as the ambassadors of Christ. Would you make us gentle ambassadors, gentle ministers of reconciliation? Give us gentle fingers that point to the King of Kings and the Prince of Peace. Would you bless us now as your word goes forth? We pray that it would go forth with power and that we might hear with hearts and with ears that know that eternity is at stake and all is on the line, that we would hear as for our very lives. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight our text will come from the New Testament, from the book of Matthew. From Matthew and chapter 5. And we'll read verse 9. We've taken some time for several weeks to look at each of these Beatitudes. This is how Jesus opened one of his most famous sermons, the Sermon on the Mount. And he opens this sermon with statements of blessing. If you are in the arms of Christ, you are in a place of blessing. As our brother Gary has reminded us in Sunday school, when you are seated in this room, where are you seated? I never knew this word until he explained it to me. You are seated in the nave. You are seated in the ark. You are seated in the place of safety. And Jesus utters blessings upon you. As these words go forth, they are pronouncing blessings upon you, not curses. And may you receive this blessing, which he states in verse 9, where he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Well, in one stroke, Jesus pronounces favor upon those who labor as ambassadors of peace. They are ambassadors of the cross. What did Jesus do at the cross? The Apostle Paul describes what he did in Colossians 1, verse 20. He made peace by the blood of his cross. And Jesus is pronouncing a blessing upon those who speak the word of the cross, who speak messages of peace, even through broken, stammering, half-formed sentences. He pronounces a blessing upon those who labor as ambassadors of Christ in hostile territory. Now, the Beatitudes are the artistry of heaven in the work of a human soul. Now, these are not merely ethical statements. He's not merely saying here, for example, in verse 9, he's not merely saying, blessed are those who act nicely. A friend and mentor told me several years ago, we do not believe in a gospel of niceness. We trust a gospel of righteousness. Jesus is not saying, blessed are those who play nicely. When he says, blessed are the peacemakers, what is he saying? When he utters all of these blessings, these statements, what is he saying? Well, he's describing what the Holy Spirit does when he draws you to himself. Here is Jesus the King, and he is pronouncing what it means for you to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. For you to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, for you to be truly blessed, means that you have come to the end of yourself and you recognize your spiritual poverty. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You recognize that you have a depth, you have a hole which you could not fill. You have a debt which you could not pay. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn over their sin, those who weep, those who shed tears, those, if you're not prone to weeping physically, those whose tears are in their voice and in their groans. Blessed are those who mourn over their rebellion. Blessed are those who mourn over the results of the fall, the results of the fall in their own soul, in the soul and the life of their neighbors and the world around us. Blessed are those who mourn over the results of the fall, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who are broken before the truth of Christ. Those who bow before the scepter of his truth. Those who hear the law. Those who hear the promises. Those who hear the prophecies. Who hear the histories. Those who hear the Bible and they bend. Blessed are those who listen. Those who are meek. For they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, who they get it. They are aligned with what God requires. They admit, they confess the righteousness of his law, that his is a law which is unerring, unchanging. It is a standard which will never be altered, and they long for that. They long for that righteousness. And so they look to Christ. They look to the righteousness of Christ, his obedience which was worked out for them, secured for them. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore they have his righteousness credited to them, filling their soul. And when God looks upon them now, he sees a person who is legally dressed in his righteousness alone. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those who are merciful. Those who have tasted of his mercy, and then they seek to extend that same mercy to a lost and suffering pain-enduring world. Blessed are the pure in heart, those who vigorously pursue after holiness, sanctification, that true, deep-toned piety. And what is piety? It is that reverence joined with love for God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And then blessed are the peacemakers. They have been convinced of their own lack of righteousness. They have looked to Christ alone. They themselves have experienced this deepest of peace. And now they labor for that peace in the midst of the world. They labor, whether they are preachers, elders, deacons, members, they labor as ambassadors, working for peace in hostile territory. And that's what a peacemaker is. It is one who labors for peace in hostile territory. Specifically, they labor for the peace between God and man, because they know that is the only true source of deep, lasting, abiding peace. So in order to be a peacemaker, you must first of all be acquainted and familiar and have deeply experienced peace with God. In order for you to be a gentle ambassador, you must first experience peace with God. In other words, that you yourself have felt the lash of a guilty conscience. You have deeply felt the sting of the law. You have felt that sword as it was turned. You have sensed that scalpel as it was placed deep into your desires, your affections, your convictions. You have felt what it is to be deeply convinced of your sin, and that because of your sin, you are estranged from Him. You know what it is to be persuaded that you are exiled from Him, that you are a stranger to Him. You know what it means to mourn over the fact that you are distant from Him, that you long for there to be a closeness, for there to be a love, for there to be a joy, but you know what it is to be distant, to long for God, but to know that your sin has made a separation between you and your Maker. And then you know what it is, having felt that pain of an accusing conscience. Y'all, an accusing conscience will pursue you with a drawn sword. The conscience is given to you for a specific purpose. It is God's gift to you to pursue you until you have no place to go. It pursues you until you are driven straight to the arms of Christ. Those who are gentle ambassadors, they have experienced peace with God because they felt the sting of a guilty conscience, and that conscience has driven them to Christ, driven them to the righteousness of Christ, driven them to the cross. And there at the foot of the cross, they have heard that joyful sound. They have heard the promise of Jesus, "Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And you have lifted your head and you have seen the holy Christ of heaven seated on the throne, and He is saying unto you, "Come." He draws you. He says to you, "You come unto me. You come as you are. You come in your sin. You come trusting that this sin, your sins, which are many, they can be forgiven and pardoned." And oh, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. He speaks, and listening to His voice, new life the dead receive. Kids, I want you to hear tonight, there is no sweeter name There's no safer name. There's no stronger name. Gentle ambassadors have experienced the calm of peace with Him. Do you know what that is, to be at peace with God? To have the distance closed? To be drawn from the far country? The Apostle Paul says about Jesus, He Himself is our peace. If you would be a gentle ambassador, which is really the capstone of all of these Beatitudes, speaking for the King, speaking a word for this matchless Redeemer, even though it might be in stuttering, half-formed, broken sentences with misplaced vocabulary, you speak because you have experienced the deepest peace anyone could ever experience, and you want others to taste that as well. Second thing I want you to see is that a gentle ambassador will not only be at peace with God, you will also find that if you're at peace with God, you're becoming more at peace within. You're at peace with God, and therefore you're becoming more and more at peace with yourself. On every pew, there are agitations. There are rising waves. There are storms. There are anxieties. There are uncertainties. Unresolved questions. Perplexing providences with no clear explanation. Do you know what it is to be content? To be at peace within? Is it not to have those waves subdued? To sense the calming of the winds? To see the scattering of the storm? A gentle ambassador is at peace with God, but they're also at peace within. We adjust expectations. We adjust our desires. We adjust our longings. We adjust them according to His glory. And we have experienced the sweetest peace anyone can ever imagine. And when those waves rise, because they will, and when those winds pick up, because they will, when those storm clouds inevitably gather, what do? As Martin Lloyd-Jones said in the 20th century, we learn to talk to ourselves. Do you ever talk to yourself? Kids, you ever talk to yourself? We learn to talk to ourselves. And when we talk to ourselves, what do we say? We remind. What did we sing this morning in Psalm 143? My spirit within me was desolate. And then what's the very next thing that we sang? I will remember the deeds of the Lord. I will meditate on all your works. I will muse on the work of your hands. Do you know, there is no deeper abiding contentment than from simply clinging to the truths He has stated and meditating upon them. So you hear what He says, You hear His promise of peace. He has come as the ambassador of heaven, offering you terms of peace and reconciliation. The Apostle Paul says, to us was given this ministry of reconciliation. And you yielded to those terms. You yielded to the person and work of Christ. And oh, what followed from that? What were the dominoes that fell after you yielded to the claims of Christ? You experienced peace with God, and then peace within. Which means our agitations begin. They don't completely go away, but they begin to soften. And the waves begin to be subdued. Now, you and I are going to take the rest of our life. This is the capstone of the Beatitudes. The one that follows is a blessing for those who suffer for all of these things. This is the last one Jesus states as a mark of character. And it's going to take us the rest of our life to experience that peace within. But oh, that you would taste and see that He is good. A gentle ambassador. They're at peace with God. They're at peace within. And therefore, what do? They therefore bring peace to the field. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. What does a peacemaker do? Okay, in the old westerns, what did a peacemaker do? Is that the sort of peacemaker? A little different, right? Blessed are those gentle ambassadors who bring peace to the field. And how do they bring peace to a hostile, assaulting field? How do you as a Christian, how do you as a believer, those of you who are Christians tonight, how do you carry this truth? This person of Christ, how do you carry His promises as a gentle ambassador in the midst of a world that is given over to vicious conflict and malice? How do you do it? You speak as He would speak. That's how. A gentle ambassador brings peace to the field by speaking as He would speak. What does Jesus say in John 16? He says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. How does Jesus bring peace? How does the eternal Son of God bring peace to those whom He loves? How does He bring peace to you? Well, He speaks. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. You learn to speak as He would speak, which means this. When you speak in the name of Christ, even if it is in broken, stuttering, half-formed sentences, when you speak in His name, what are you doing? You are speaking truth. Jeremiah pointed out that the false prophets of his day, you know, Jeremiah had an office. He had a task to preach, to declare, to minister the word, knowing full well that his words would fall on deaf ears. Knowing full well that the people to whom he would speak, they were bending their ear to false prophets. And what were the false prophets saying? You read tonight from Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 14. And what were the false prophets saying? The false prophets were speaking to Israel, who was prone and rushing headlong into idolatry. And Israel's false prophets were crying, peace! Jeremiah is predicting destruction upon this city. No, Jeremiah is leading you astray. No, the truth is you have peace. Jeremiah counters and says the false prophets, they are the ones who cry peace, peace, when there is no peace. The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 57:21 says, there is no peace to the wicked. So then this promise, what is it stating. It is stating a promise of peace to those who are subdued before the Lord, to those who have bowed the knee before the Lord, to those who have embraced the truth of the Lord. So then, this is very important. Peace must never be offered at the expense of truth. If you don't hear anything else, please hear me. If we would speak as He would speak, then you and I must learn the art of speaking truth. Because peace, if we want to be gentle ambassadors speaking a word for our King, we must never, ever assume that peace can be bought at any price. That peace can be offered at the expense of truth. If you and I would learn to speak as He would speak, then we must learn to speak His words. John 15, you know what He says to His disciples? My words have I spoken to you that your joy might be full. You want to be a helper and promoter of people's joy? Then give them the words of Christ. Give them the words of truth, unvarnished, unwatered down in all of their beautiful glory. You give them the truth of Christ. Learn to speak as He would speak, which means we learn to speak truth. It also means we learn to speak love. And you notice how these two go together. One doesn't cancel out the other. And to be a gentle ambassador, we learn to speak the love of God. The Apostle Paul, this champion of the gospel, he is the one who spoke in Romans 5:5 of the love of God poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit. Oh, you and I, this is what we relish. As those who have recognized our poverty of spirit, we have mourned over our sin, we have been broken and humbled before the truth, we have hungered and thirsted after righteousness, we have tasted of His mercy, His love is that which has cascaded down into the cavern of our soul, which has been carved by His own hand. And y'all, that love is what has purified, it is what has overwhelmed, it has consumed, and it has continued to carve our soul at increasing depths. And it is that love, when you and I speak, yes, we might speak broken, stuttering, half-formed sentences with ill-used vocabulary, but we are speaking from a deep place that has felt the love of God shed abroad in it by the Holy Spirit. And oh, that whenever you and I speak, as we learn to speak as He would speak, that it would be thoughts that breathe, words that burn with this vehement flame of the Lord. And what is the flame of the Lord in Song of Solomon chapter 8? That flame of the Lord? Well, it is that love. Love which is strong as death. And that you and I would be purified, that our tongues would be purified by that live coal from the altar. That we would learn to speak as gentle ambassadors. Now, Paul says to his spiritual son Timothy, the Lord's servant must not always strive, but be gentle, apt to teach, drawing souls from the snare of the devil. That's our task. We learn to speak as He would speak, with truth and with love. Lord, learning to speak with precision, with well-chosen words. Now, how did He speak? How does He speak to us? He has used rich words, good words, noble words, excellent words. Words like atonement, words like justification, biblical words like holiness, words like purity, mercy, words like truth, reconciliation, propitiation. This is a whole vocabulary. It's a whole vocabulary which you and I are unaccustomed to. The Jewish believers knew this vocabulary. They knew this vocabulary from the Old Testament ceremonies and sacrifices. They knew it. And so when Jesus and the apostles come along and they're using the same language, they just plug it in. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus is the great high priest. Jesus is the mercy seat. Jesus is the tabernacle. You and I are learning. Y'all, make a study of biblical language. Language is vital. Language is a battleground. You talk about bringing peace to the field of hostile territory, language is it. Insist on biblical terms, particularly when it comes to matters of ethics in today's battles. Insist on biblical vocabulary, using the language which He would use. Okay, use His language and then define it. Explain it. But make a study. As gentle ambassadors, make a study of biblical language. The word is sin, not simply weakness. The word is transgression, not merely mistakes. You can make a catalog of all of these. Insist on precise biblical language as a gentle ambassador. And then learn the art of using questions. Does the Apostle Paul not use just one rhetorical question after another? And you read through his letters. Does the Lord Himself, how does the Lord speak? The Lord speaks truth and love with precision. Does the Lord Himself not use rhetorical questions with precision? Adam, where are you? Speaking to Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? We learn the art of questions. So then, rather than simply telling, which has its place, you need a good mix. For a batch of biscuits, you need a mix. For a gentle embassy of heaven, you need a mix. You need to tell, but you also need the effective, studied, prayerful use of questions. Now, you are a gentle ambassador in training. Is that not what we long for this congregation to be? For this congregation on the triangle to be known. To be known for its devotion to Christ, for its zeal for the mercy seat, for its zeal for the throne of grace, its zeal for prayer. Is this not what we long for? We long to be known as the people, as an evangelistic, witness-bearing people. And why? Why do we long for these things? Why do we ask that the Spirit would work these things in us? Is it simply for our own name? No. What is, when you speak as a gentle ambassador, when you besiege the throne of grace for revival, for the Spirit to be poured out from heaven, what are you longing for? When the Apostle Paul rose to speak in Athens, what was his driving zeal? What motivated him to speak? His spirit was stirred. Why? Because the city was given over to idolatry. It was zeal for the glory of the Lord. Why do you and I pray for holiness without which no one shall see the Lord? Why do we pray to be filled with righteousness, to be filled with the Spirit, to be filled with His truth? Why do we pray, more love to Thee, O Christ? Would You cause our love to abound more and more? Why do we long for purity of heart? Is it not because our obsession is not with ourselves? Our obsession is with the glory of Christ. And we ache. We absolutely ache that the streets and neighbors and people we know and love would be gripped by that same vision. So here is Jesus giving you this statement of blessing. Blessed are the gentle ambassadors, for they shall be called sons of God. And may you and I be at peace with Him. May you know what it is to be at peace with God. And to be at peace with Him. May any waves, winds, storms, uncertainties, may they all be subdued by that benign breeze of the Holy Spirit. And may He stir you. May He open your lips to declare His praise. You have no idea. You, dear people, you have no idea the impact that you have, even with one word. And oh, may He use your one word, your one look, your one gesture, may He use those in your embassy, in your witness. May He make you a gentle ambassador. Would you pray with me? Our gracious God and our merciful Father, O Lord, to know the sweetness of reconciliation with God, that we are in union and communion with Christ. Lord, for each person here, would You draw near and would You calm and quiet our souls? And then, Lord, would You give us training to speak even as You would speak, with truth and with love and with precision and with drawing out people's souls with searching questions. And, Lord, would You begin with us? Search us and know us and see if there be any wicked way in us. Lead us in the way everlasting. See if there be any way that is to be commended in us. Would You do Your work in us this night and write Your truth upon our hearts? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.